This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More, a podcast where three friends talk about their passion for the Disney parks. I'm Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
Hello, Christopher. How are you this very fine day?
Doing well. The weather's starting to get better. I feel like I'm going to be outside running more and more these days.
Yay! Not up here in New Hampshire. It's either raining or windy. So windy that you're blowing away. I don't know. Is it that way in New Jersey?
No, it's actually been warming up. We were in the 60s. But I think it's supposed to go up to the 70s tomorrow.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
So can't wait.
It's all good.
Who else is here?
Our good friend, Mike Scopa. Hi, Mike.
Greetings and salutations, everybody.
Wow. So like, you should be like the host at an attraction. Greetings and salutations. You could be like the Country Bear Jamboree. You could get up on stage and greetings.
I want to be the cast member who greets everybody in Carousel of Progress and says, okay, everybody, fasten your seatbelts. If you don't have any, find a seat that has seatbelts.
Everybody I think that goes. Would be fun for like the first 72 times you say it. Maybe after that, not so much. Huh?
Yeah.
And I'm sure every single time everybody falls for it.
I thought you'd want to be like the guy who says no privacy at all around here.
I wanted to be the cast member who says, I want everybody to move, you know, fill all in every seat. Every seat go, but you can't do that now. It's COVID.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, why don't we jump right into things and start doing an update on the parks and all the other notable things. So the calendar, the Walt Disney World calendar, is now showing operating hours through July 24th, Mike. And you pointed out something to me that I hadn't seen before, which is there are colors to the days. What do those colors mean?
So there are three colors, Chris. It's green, yellow, and gray. Green means that all the parks are available on that particular day, and the color will be on the date. Let's say May 15th, you would have green. That means all the parks have availability on that day. If you see a day with yellow, that means that only some parks are available. And the days that are filled in gray, that means no availability is there. And the reason why I thought it was important to mention that is that as we move into the summer, we've seen a little bit of an adjustment with park availability. Some of the grays are turning to yellow and some of the yellows are turning to green. And what does that mean? That means possibly that park capacity is going up. So
interesting.
Keep your eyes on the calendar.
But you can't find the calendar everywhere, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, you can find it, but not the color.
Not the color-coded one.
Mm. Well, you have to go to My Disney Experience, not your Disney Experience, but My Disney Experience. Probably on your laptop, computer, your computer, not on the phone, and then click on park availability, and you'll see the color-coded calendar.
Yeah, because we actually tried it on the computer and then on the app. And on the app, what do you have to do? Just click around to see?
You just say, okay, I think
colors aren't there.
Yeah, just going to try to get into the Magic Kingdom on this date and just hope and pray you can, I guess.
Oh, interesting. They should take a memo from Apple and learn about cross iOS. Yeah, it should look the same both ways wherever you are and know where things are. I didn't know where that calendar was until Mike pointed it out. And the fact that they don't even, and then Michelle said, is it colored on the app? And then we went to go look and it's not. So it's very not user friendly for a lot of times. But
yeah, and unless you were thinking, I mean, we would assume that it would be the same for all, unless you were thinking, oh, no, I better, because I would say, I'm just going to throw my phone in my pocket and go to the parks and check it out on there. But then, you know, now I have to throw my computer in my pocket to do it.
Or at least go to the webpage on your phone.
Yeah.
Well, if people are, so right now we're still at 2 o'clock, you can make your hop to another park. What are the hours now for where those parks if you wanted to hop into a different park.
And that's something that just thought it would be good to make mention. So as of right now, it seems like every single day that has park operating hours, we're seeing the same. So for Magic Kingdom, it's park hopping. You can get into the Magic Kingdom as your second park of the day from 2 o'clock till closing. It's 9. Epcot is 2 to 9. The studios is 2 to 7, and the Animal Kingdom is 2 to 6. But here's one thing that, you know, everyone needs to remember, and that is that you cannot enter into that second park until after 2 o'clock, unless it's the first park of the day for you and you have a park reservation. So if you have a park reservation for, let's say, the Magic Kingdom tomorrow morning, and, you know, you say, I think I'm going to sleep in, I'm going to, you know, take it easy, I'll go in about 2 o'clock. You can go to the Magic Kingdom at 2 o'clock because it's, number one, your primary park that day. It's on the reservation. But you can't visit, let's say, Epcot at 7 o'clock that night for dinner unless you had a park reservation for Epcot that day. So just another little wrinkle that people have to keep in mind, and we have to relearn everything. It's
And this may change in a week or a month. Just keep an eye, and we'll obviously be here to keep up to date. Mike is our source for all of this stuff. And speaking of our source, last week Mike hinted at the close of our show about an announcement the next day, which came to pass, which was the announcement that Disney is going to be doing an after-hours event called the Boo Bash, starting in August 10th and going through October 31st from 9 p.m. to midnight or 12:30 a.m. Mike, are you excited about this, or is this something that you're interested in?
I'm really curious to see what you and Michelle have to feel about this. Let me give you my little elevator speech. Number one, it's a three and a half hour separate park admission
hard ticket event.
Tied ticket event. Thank you. I don't know what the prices are going to be, but feeling is that they might be around the $120 to $130 mark.
That's what I thought I read.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, would you pay $125 for 3 hours? And right now, we don't know if there's going to be fireworks. We don't know if there's going to be a parade, Boo to You parade. There are some really established legacy events that have happened at the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, and that they've taken away. You know, the Villains Mix and Mingle, I love that. And you know, the Boo to You parade and Hallowishes. So I don't know what's going to happen. So right now I'm kind of on the fence as to whether or not I even try. Michelle, what do you think?
Well, it's interesting too, because I was reading on the Disney Parks blog that it is, you know, I know it's not the same as Mickey's Not So Scary, but this one actually starts at 9 p.m. So it seems like it's targeted for older folks, you know, versus Not So Scary where it's a lot of young kids. So it's 9 to midnight. So they're going to be cavalcades, special performances, treat stops, things like that. But I had seen it somewhere that it was going to be about $100 to $120 a person for 3 hours. Hmm. Would you pay, Chris?
Well, how much, like a full day ticket is 100 and what now? 120 something?
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know what the extras are going to be. With obviously limited capacity, maybe do you get on to rides quicker? Like you can just do a mad dash through. But usually the way they do these events is they don't keep all the attractions open, so you might not get onto some. This is one of those things I've done in the past, and I think you've said it a lot, Mike, is that it's the thing you do because you say you want to just see it, and you go once, you get your experience, and you don't go back. I feel like we've done the Christmas. I don't remember doing the Halloween ones, but Halloween's not my favorite holiday. I'm so over Halloween, but I can't imagine celebrating Halloween on August 10th. Like, it's just like, I still want to have summer here. I'm not even at Labor Day, and you're already pulling out the pumpkins. So
I'm with you, Chris. Well, I guess we can call this the $125 candy corn. But one of the things that I was thinking about today as I was jotting down the notes is that on the within the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party event, there's always two parades, one for the one early on and one later on. You know, obviously there will be some children that would be there, and you know, the early parade is for them, and then the later parade is for everybody else. Well, now my guess is that it's one parade, number one, and who knows what else is being cut back for three hours. Are you going to enjoy attractions for 3 hours? I don't know. Years ago, I don't know how true this is, but years ago, one of my colleagues at one of the places that I was writing blogs had found out that it was that the events were capped at 25,000 people. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I don't know. I would love to be, would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when this decision was made and why it was made. You know, I don't know if anybody will ever get a chance to ask an executive down there why this decision was made. Why go from 5 to 3 hours? You know, why do this? So I think it's going to backfire. I really do. I don't think people are going to flock, you know, unless it's about a $75 ticket event. You know, who's going to pay?
Michelle, would you go?
So I'm just reading some more information. I'm seeing now that if you get your tickets day of, you can get in at 7 o'clock. I don't know. I'm a sucker for these things. Honestly, I would go see the butlers from the Haunted Mansion with the shovels do their thing. I know this isn't going to be a parade, but I just absolutely love that. Halloween is not a favorite of mine. It's not a holiday I really like very much, but for 3 hours, for that much money, I'd love to just go out for drinks with you and Mike for that much time. Yeah, it's going to be $130 per adult or per child. So that's, you know, $520 for a family of four. Wow. For 3 hours. Yeah, I don't know. It says there are going to be 20 attractions open. And I don't know. I would say maybe once. But I don't know. I'm on the fence.
I don't go to those events for the attractions. I go to those events to see the crazy costumes that guests wear, to have interaction with the villains, which is a rarity.
You interact with them?
To see, well, yeah. To see,
he's
to
having
see,
fun
to see shows, yeah, to see a, to are. See the parade, to you know, really swallow up the Halloween atmosphere. Yeah. The trick or treat, you know, you get to trick or treat, yeah. And you also get to see a pretty amazing Halloween fireworks display. I don't know if all that's going to happen with this. So
yeah, and I also, for me, it's the kids and the families, the family costume. So 9 to 12.
And I, you know, I was planning to go. I was going to wear a thong as my costume, but since the so expensive, I don't think you're going to get to see that.
Well, luckily for us podcasting, we're doing this on Zoom, so we're getting a preview and cameras. Very nice, Chris. Very nice.
Hey, look, you know, sometimes you got to show what you got. So I'm just going to go through a couple of quick notable changes. It seems the temperature screenings are going to be dropping soon. They're going to get rid of it. It's already begun at some of the hotel restaurants. The WDW restaurants are looking to rehire. They're starting to bring people back in, which is good news. So maybe more restaurants will open up. Some of the counter service, the quick service locations are slowly reopening. The wash stations are gone, and the trash cans seem to be back to the normal. The lids are closed. One of the other wonderful news and changes that I'm sure Michelle is so excited about is celebration of the Festival of the Lion King has reopened. Are you excited, Michelle?
I love that show. You know, I'm guessing, I think some of the things that we read about that were going to be gone are the little parade at the end with the kids, which I think is very cute. I'm all about the kids stuff. Music is great. I don't know. I love the name of it. I just kept on What is it called? It's such a funny name. A
celebration of the festival.
A celebration of the festival. Like, and that was the meeting that I wanted to be at. Like, who decided that the celebration of the festival? Like, what else was on the table?
Celebration of the thoughts about of the concern of the festival of the Lion King.
I did see a video, and I can tell you, it looks a little bit like the old show, and then it doesn't look at all like the old show. So
explain.
So think about how the old show was and where you sat. Mm-hmm. Okay. Back yourself up about 50 feet. Number one. Number two, remember
how could you back yourself up 50 feet? It's
like back up in the stands.
They may have removed some of the stands.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Number two, remember how the stage was. And when you first start seeing the performers, there are four performers on there and they were standing maybe 20 feet apart. Maybe they're 30 feet apart now. That's number two. Number three, the dancers and everything, maybe half of them are there. There are no
monkeys.
What? And no parades.
Why go if there are no monkeys?
So, you know, it's quite different. And I'm wondering as other shows come back, if we're going to see, you know, changes to make sure that they, you know, handle the guidelines, but at the same time, trying to bring back some semblance of normalcy. They're hiring people for shows. Just going to go back a little bit to what Chris said about the restaurants. What I read today is that, I forget the name of the parent company, but it's the parent company who owns all the Mexican restaurants. Mm-hmm. They're like going crazy trying to recruit, and they're actually offering bonuses to cast members if they can get other people to come in and interview and get hired. They're really, really desperate. So
interesting.
All that stuff means something's going on. You know, things are going to start opening up. So
yeah, they're ramping up big time, huh? Well, it's not the first time in forever. Segue.
Yeah, that's opening up too pretty soon.
Nice.
See how that is. And then the Disney Junior Dance Party is also returning.
Interesting. Then I could let the kids have a parade at celebration of the thought of the incident of the consideration of the Festival of the Lion King, but they're going to have a dance party.
Yeah.
It's sad to me because I think it's one of the things that makes those shows really cool is that the audience, if you think of like the Festival of Lion King and also Finding Nemo the musical, the way that they bring the performers out into the audience, I think makes you feel like you're kind of part of the show. And I get it. I mean, I certainly get it, but it's sad. So hopefully they'll get back to doing it.
Next.
So that's sort of the joy. What's going to be the name for if Finding Nemo comes back? The
found him.
The joy consideration of the celebration.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's some of the joy, though. You know, it's so funny. We've talked about in the past about some of these plus items, like the shows in Epcot or the Streetmosphere? How do you pronounce it?
Streetmosphere.
Citizens characters. A lot of people love that interaction. It sort of makes the parks for a lot of people. So yeah, I can see why it gets frustrating that you don't. That's why you like with the kids' events, the parades, the dance parties. The interaction tends to be a lot of the thing that makes the parks magical. And let's hope they start bringing some of that stuff back. But speaking of the mask updates, we should probably talk about that considering that they're talking about reopening stuff. Mike, Orange County is apparently inching towards the 50% vaccination rate. As far as the residents go, I don't know if that includes people showing up from their airports.
That's the crazy thing. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was going to ask you what your thoughts are. Do you think things are going to start pushing forward or...
So as of the date of this recording, which is May 12th, I believe that Orange County is pretty close to 47%, maybe even 48%. And
that's of residents.
That's residents. Mm-hmm. And by this time next week, it may be 50%. So the question that Chris brought up is, you know, that like, and just you said, Michelle, that's population. That's the Orange County residents. What about the people going in and out of Orlando? What about the people entering, you know, with cars and coming off planes and everything? I don't know how they can honestly say that 50% of the population is vaccinated when you have hundreds of thousands of people going in and out every day. So So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Jerry Demings, who's the Orange County mayor, has talked about, you know, lifting the face covering mandate when the 50% of the population is, and when he says 50% of the population, he's talking about 16 years and over when they are have been vaccinated. So
that doesn't mean that Walt Disney World will do the same. Right now they're not.
Right, and that's what everyone's going to be watching. So his let me throw this out. If either Universal Studios or Walt Disney World decides to lift their outside, and this is the outside mask mandate, the other one's going to follow like sheep, like the citizens of Rome.
Mm-hmm. So let's kind of think about this. Let's think of let's just think of one place in the parks, Main Street USA, where you go in and out of the stores. You can go out in the street, back in the store. Is there going to be a cast member at every single opening and saying, put your mask on, put your mask on, put your mask on, put your mask?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be really, really tricky. It's different if you're going into the Haunted Mansion, but there are places where, you know, the crowd is kind of fluid and going back and forth, and to manage that. Ooh.
And that's how it is in Disney parks, Michelle. You hit the nail right on the head, especially when we talk about like Animal Kingdom. I think of Animal Kingdom as really one of those parks where you're in and out. So
you even walk through, sometimes you walk through to get somewhere faster. You know, we would sometimes take shortcuts through.
Right, Casey's or something.
Right, yeah. Even especially in Animal Kingdom, do that too.
What about Disney Springs? You know, like the whole idea is that you're going in and out of stores. So you're taking it off, you're putting it on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting choice. I would assume they're going to err on the side of keeping masks mandatory until you don't have to have them inside, so that you can freely transfer in and out of a indoor facility, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that's, I guess, the meetings they're having just about every day, I'm sure, at the corporate headquarters.
Things are changing every day. I didn't realize until this week I read that cast members who were on duty outside were required to wear face shields.
Mm-hmm.
And now that mandate has been lifted. So
okay,
little things. And then we talked about the trash cans. It sounds like a stupid thing, but what they had done is they had fixed the trash can so that the covers were up so that you didn't have to touch them. You could just throw things in. But now they're coming down. They're also eliminating the wash stands too. So
I think that part is, I remember reading that they had said that the transference of COVID really wasn't on surfaces, like the likelihood of getting it from surfaces. So the idea that, you know, they need the wash stations, or look, I'm going to still Purell like it's nobody's business, because I've always done that. But you know, I guess that's why the garbage cans are doing fine. And
do you have like a holster?
I you know what, they make the little ones with the little plastic things, so you I would attach it to either when I had a backpack, or I'd put on my, you know, one of my loops on around my waist.
Oh yeah.
I'd have it with me the whole time. Yeah. Especially when the kids were little. Cause you know, I mean, they had to touch everything, and then we'd go get food and they'd be like, bleh, you know,
I always pictured you, Chris, as having the Purell, like Spider-Man has his web.
Wait. He'd be doing it to everybody going down Main Street USA.
Got my sanitizer with it. My sanity sense.
Yeah. Sanity sense. Yeah, that was me though. I would always like need Purell. Need it. Like I was giving it to everybody. I was doing it. It was funny. I had a meeting to get today with my publishers, and we were talking about the last time we were in person together. It was just before the lockdown, and I was the one who was like freaking. I was like, I wore gloves when I went into the city. I was kind of stressing. And then I had Purell with me, and I kept offering it to people. And they're like, why are you stressing? And I said, I'm always like this with Purell, but this is even more. So, if you've ever gone to meet with me to a park, you would probably see a little thing of Purell around my waist. So, but
yeah, it's this is off topic a little bit, but I was at commencement today, and it was the weirdest thing not to hug people or people kept on sticking out their hands. Mm-hmm. to shake my hand, and I would just give them the elbow. And it's just really interesting way to think about the way we're interacting in the world. I mean, other people who have been outside, moving around. Maybe this is nothing new, but it was really awkward for me to say, oh, nice to meet you. I'm like, ah, here's my elbow.
Yeah. And if you transferred over to Disney World, like, I'm sure there are certain protocols that go into play. But I think, you know, I think of dopey things like the normal stuff that we've done. Like, remember, like, if you would start to get to the front of the line or, you know, like the entrance to an attraction and they'd hand you one of those tags to see, like, what the rate was.
Yeah.
Can they obviously aren't doing that, or I would assume they aren't doing that right now because they don't want, you know, to keep transferring stuff. I wonder if they'll bring that back. But you know what I'm actually looking forward to, Mike? I was listening to the old Epcot fireworks.
What, Epcot soundtrack? Is that what you're saying,
Chris? No, not the soundtrack. I wasn't listening to the soundtrack that you sent me. I was listening to Illuminations, and I was thinking about the new one. What is it, Epcot Forever? Forever?
Yeah, that was the bridge. That's the bridge between Reflections of Earth and Harmonious, yes.
That's what I sent you, Chris.
Right. Oh, is that what you sent me? Okay.
Chris keeps on teasing me because I keep on sending him Epcot soundtracks. Cause I know.
Like, you found every single Spotify Epcot soundtrack that there is. Like, I guess I don't have to ask what your favorite park is because everything is Epcot. Everything. So, Mike, so what's going on? You're hearing some noise about Epcot Forever?
So there are people who are staying at the Epcot resorts, and they are saying that they're hearing at night the Epcot Forever music.
Forever?
So
never gets old.
Why, mm-hmm. why would there be an effort to play the music unless they were trying to do something with that show, and maybe there are plans to bring it back. However, having said that, we know that those Harmonious barges are in the way, and that reduces the paths for those boats. Chris, have you ever seen Epcot Forever?
I have not.
So the boats carry, I think each boat, Michelle, is about four kites, and they light up and everything, and they're very synchronized. And so I don't know what's going to happen with that. I was texting with Becky today, and we're kind of texting back and forth saying, how the heck are they going to do the kites? How are they going to do those things? And then I was thinking possibly there's something that they're trying out with the Harmonious barges, and maybe they're going to utilize some of their lighting capabilities and the water capabilities and maybe make an adjustment to the Epcot Forever show. But regardless of what they do, it's interesting that they are doing quote rehearsals or testing, if they are doing that, because again, little signs we're seeing every week that things are slowly getting back to normal. And if they do shows like that, and how are they going to handle the crowds? Because you know, Chris, how it is when mm-hmm. you're watching Illuminations and
everybody shows up like an hour ahead of time, stakes out their spot, and then a minute before the fireworks starts, somebody pushes right to the front and stands in front of you. So I wonder if they're going to have selected viewing areas and maybe rope things off and keep things a little bit. You know, I think of the old Star Wars fireworks that they had before the current ones, and they sort of did that. They blocked people off into, I don't know if they still do that, but they blocked people off in a certain area and said, this is where you are. And, you know, maybe they start spacing people out a little bit more. Who knows? What is Harmonious supposed to begin? Is it supposed to be for the 50th anniversary?
Yes, October 1st.
So do you think they're just going to bypass Epcot Never instead of Forever? Or is it be celebration of the festival of the Epcot Forever?
let's see, June, July, August, September, 4.5 months away. So we'll see. A lot of things can happen in 4.5 months.
I mean, why would they prepare a show that would probably last a month? Why would they go through all of these rehearsals for something that's only going to be a month long?
So let me throw this out to this. Let's say that they do decide to have Harmonious. My guess is that there's going to be some type of a control mechanism so that there are only X number of guests that will be allowed to watch it, because only X number of guests can comfortably fit around World Showcase Lagoon. It may be 1,000. It may be 2000. I don't know. But my guess is that you may have to make a reservation for Harmonious. We'll see.
It might be like Fantasmic, where you sort of have to get a reservation with your dining and then nobody else can get in, though. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah,
we'll see. Who knows? Why don't we just catch up with a couple of little last tidbits before we close out? So, Mike, you're hearing Universal Studios Orlando is hiring?
The numbers are crazy, Chris. I'm hearing that they are looking to hire people left and right. Very much in the same line as the restaurants in Walt Disney World. There's just a hiring frenzy going on down there. And if you are either a waiter or if you are kind of a theme park veteran, I'm sure that you could really get a good chance of getting hired in Universal. I'm hearing that they are frantic. They're hiring left and right. Yep.
Well, that's good news. What about in Disneyland? What are you hearing about Disneyland?
So I heard that you know how we have a virtual queue for
Rise of the Resistance?
Rise of the Resistance. Mm-hmm. And we were thinking, and I think we talked about this last week, you know, would there be a move to add virtual queues to other attractions? And that is the case for Temple of the Forbidden Eye in Disneyland. That is happening. So my thought is, what other attractions could possibly be candidates for, you know, a virtual queue? And I'm thinking Splash Mountain. I'm thinking Big Thunder Mountain. I'm thinking, obviously, Space Mountain. How about Everest? And how about Soarin'? Those attractions which have long queues. So that's
something to keep an eye on. So do you think Fast Passes aren't coming back?
I think Fast Passes will come back, but I don't think we'll see them for another year.
I would even say something like Pirates would be
candidate. That's another one, Chris.
An interior that winds around. I think it's more about the queue space. If it was outdoors, you know, that's the thing about Disney. Most of the Disneyland rides, the queue has been outside. I noticed it when we were out there
because
you notice the heat and stuff like that. And they always put umbrellas and fans up. Whereas in the Florida heat, they wanted to keep everybody inside and cool. So, you know, Florida's got a lot of more interior queues. So it might be a smart move on their part right now, but we'll see. We'll have to see. What about my favorite topic, the Disney Cruise Line?
Still nothing. I did hear that Disney Cruise is actually in talks with Fort Lauderdale to maybe move some of the cruises down there. But I think one of the sticking points is what is going to happen for vaccinations, which the government has said people cannot, cruise lines, a lot of them want to do. So if cruise lines say, we want you vaccinated, but you're getting on Port Canaveral, which is in Florida, it's going to be interesting. So yeah. Some cruise lines are actually starting in the Caribbean. I think Becky was saying that.
Yeah, I heard they were threatening to say, because he was saying he did not want any vaccination mandates to go on cruises, and basically said it was like reverse logic from what it sounded like. He was saying like, you're taking away safety by requiring vaccination cards. And so a lot of the cruises, I guess from what I've read, are looking to maybe transfer their home base from Florida down to like the Bahamas or something like that, so that they don't have to go by those rules, which it doesn't seem very smart for the economics of Florida.
Well, they have these huge cruise terminals
and
all over Florida. But if we just look at the one I'm most familiar with, which is Port Canaveral, I mean, it's huge, huge Disney, Royal Caribbean, all the other cruise terminals that they built down there.
It makes the state money. There's no reason.
Big local employers of folks around that area.
We'll have to see. That's kind of sad. I mean, I feel bad. I may not like cruises, but you know, for those who do, it kind of stinks not knowing if you can go or not. And I feel bad for you guys that you're sort of, you know,
in limbo.
That nebulous zone of not knowing one way or the other. But
and when is the window, like, I've never read any documentation about when a cruise can cancel. Is it the week before? Is it 2 weeks before?
That's a good point, Michelle. What do they need with those lead times? supplying the ship, getting the crew ready.
It's not even just that. Like with the travelers, somebody's coming from Idaho. Their family of six is flying in. Are they going to tell them 2 weeks before when they can't get their flights refunded, depending on the airline? Yeah. I mean,
good point.
You know, all the different considerations, vacation time that people take and camps that people book for their kids and all the different things. It just seems, I know they're in a tough place too, but not that I want them to cancel, but
if a cruise has not been canceled, it's still on, but I see what you're saying. It's like, as you get closer and closer, it's really tight because you don't
I'm going to be there anyway, but I'm just thinking of, what it would be like for a family or people have to make alternate plans.
If you don't have a cabin for 7 days, then you're going to have to find something.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's tough. And again, do they do refunds or will they make you, reschedule your
cruise? It's like last year, they offered, from what I've heard from my MEI Master Fund travel agent, they probably won't do this, but last year they gave you 25% more to apply to another cruise. So you got 125%. So it meant a longer cruise.
Every little bit helps, I guess. So
that's still a lot of money that Disney's holding. They've been holding of mine for 2 years, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's not earning interest for me.
I'm surprised. Well, yeah. I'm surprised they did it that way, but I mean, I think about their annual passes.
Who knew what it was going to be? We didn't know.
Oh, I know. But they kind of knew when they did the annual passes that they were offering people refunds and or to waylay their ticket for a while. So they kind of knew, but it's. I guess they were just trying to keep things afloat. Anyway, all right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Mickey Mouse and More. If you want to continue the conversation,
it's a hell of a joke.
Oh. I had to say it just for the halibut, if we're going to do like sea jokes. If you want to continue this really bad punny conversation, join us on our Facebook page at Mickey Miles Podcast or on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. So for Dr. Michelle Scrivener McLean, Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road, in the parks, and welcome home.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.